before we get to Senator Biden here, I got to tell you about a new reality show that Fox has ordered up called Nothing But the Troop. Nothing But the Truth. It is going to be a lie detector show in which contestants are strapped to a lie detector and then asked 21 intensely personal questions, all while their family members and friends Ooh. Are watching.
Ooh, I can think of five right now.
This show is a major sensation already in Colombia.
The country.
South America.
Oh, Colombia.
Not where we work, the Colombia Broadcasting System.
Or Colombia, Missouri.
Not Colombia, Missouri. Okay. No, no.
Colombia.
The guy who's the head of reality TV, I'm sorry, alternative entertainment at Fox.
Mm. Is that what it's called?
It's what his name, his title is, President of Alternative Entertainment.
That's
As I pointed out to Aaron Barnhart a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about this guy, Mark Darnell, I said, with the amount of reality shows that are on TV, shouldn't that be the president of mainstream entertainment?
I was going to say, once everything's a big hit and established and kind of the norm, then it's no longer alternative.
He says, the minute I saw the presentation of this show from Columbia, I bought it. It's a combination of this edgy, at times scary moment where people are admitting things that you'd never normally admit, but they're doing it for money. In the show, questions start out soft but eventually become more uncomfortable, like, do you love one child more than another?
And the family is there.
And you're hooked up to a lie detector. Now, that would be easy for me. I only have one kid.
Yeah,
you,
me too.
You and Carol with two kids.
I will tell you in 10 seconds, our 7-year-old says that.
Of course he does.
And I say it to my mother. We know who you love most of the five of us.
Smothers Brothers made a career out of that.
They did make a career out of that.
Other things like, have you ever cheated on your wife? And other, similar questions like that. Very, very personal questions. Will all be part of this new reality show coming to Channel 2 probably later on this fall. It's called Nothing But
Could we
the
apply
Truth.
That show to politics? That would be awesome.
There you go.
Instead of debates, let's just strap them all to the machine.
And not for money, but for your job.
Yeah.
You know what? They would, because there are so many lawyers in politics, they would all argue, oh, those things aren't reliable. You know, if it's not admissible in court, we couldn't possibly use it. You know what? I'll ask Senator Biden. Senator Joe Biden is the author of a new book called Promises to Keep on Life and Politics. He is also, of course, one of the many people in America who want your vote for president.
All 800 of us.
As many as you can get. So would you go on a show with a truth detector, a lie detector, whatever you want to call it, and answer questions?
As my friend from South Carolina said, I'd do that if the host would take an IQ test.
Oh, good one, Senator.
Wait a minute. Was that a shot at me?
No. You're not the one suggesting it, I don't think.
No, I'm not. I want to talk to you about some real serious stuff today, and I know we have a limited amount of time, so let's get right to Iraq, okay? The L.A. Times had a story this week about next month's report that General Petraeus is supposed to come up with on how the surge is going, and I want to quote the Times on this. Despite President Bush's repeated statements that the report will reflect evaluations by Petraeus and Ryan Crocker, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, administration officials said it would actually be written by the White House with input from officials throughout the government. Now, you're the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. Was it your impression you were going to be getting a report that was written by the White House?
Absolutely not, and I made it clear to the White House through my staff that as chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, I will not, emphasize, will not accept a White House report. I want to hear from Crocker, and I want to hear from Petraeus. That was the commitment made, and I don't want to see their report politicized. I know both those men. They're both honorable men. They both, neither one, I believe, would deliberately mislead us. They'll tell us the facts, whether we agree with them or not, and that is the only acceptable testimony that should be given.
Now, there was another report out yesterday from the administration that they expect General Petraeus is going to suggest that U.S. troops be moved out of several areas in Iraq where security has improved when he comes up with that report in September. Does that mean that we're going to go back to whack-a-mole?
Well, it sounds like that. Look, as you well know, we've done this before. I've known General Petraeus for 5 years. I disagree with him on his strategy here, but he's an honorable guy. Remember, there was a city called Talafer, which is north of Baghdad, 250,000 people. Several years ago, we went in with 10,000 joint force, United States, as well as some Iraqis. We cleaned out the bad guys. We rebuilt the town. Everybody said it was a model. And then what happened? We left. The 10,000 forces left, and now the city is made up of 80,000 people. The idea that we can somehow stabilize Iraq by the use of force absent a fundamental political agreement among the parties is absolute nonsense.
Now, I went back and checked on some of the things you've said about our troops in Iraq this year. In March, you voted in the Senate on redeploying our troops out of Iraq by March of 2008. In June, you said we should start to draw down troops immediately and be all out of there by next year. But in July, just last month, you said, well, it would take a year for us to get 160,000 troops out of there, and we can't just pull out of Iraq. So, Senator, which is it?
All of them are consistent. They're totally consistent. What I did, I suggested a year and a half ago in the Biden-Gelb report that we should begin to draw down American forces now, get them out of the midst of the Civil War, leave a residual force behind for only three purposes: to protect our 4,000 civilians inside the Green Zone, to train Iraqi army, and to deny al-Qaeda occupation of large swaths of territory, because no other power would be able to do that within Iraq, while we are getting a political settlement to allow for regional control like exists in Kurdistan, in the area of the Shia, as well as in the area of the Sunnis, which their constitution calls for. The point about it being it takes a time to draw them down. Had we begun to draw them down when I said, we would be able to have them all out clearly by then. We can begin to draw down now and pull out somewhere on the order of 100,000 of the forces by the April 1 of next year, if we begin it now. And that's what we're pushing for. And the very thing the president vetoed, and the very thing all my colleagues are supporting, is the Biden-Levin Amendment, which was voted on this past spring, saying, begin to draw down now, leave a small residual force behind for the three purposes I stated until we determine whether or not there is a political solution. If there is not one, we must leave completely, including the civilians in that region.
Talking with Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. You and the rest of the Democrats came back to power last year after the congressional elections, where a lot of people said, okay, well, the Republicans won't get us out of Iraq. Maybe the Democrats will. And yet, Congress's approval ratings are right down there where the president's approval ratings are, more than three.
They're even lower.
I think they may be. More than three out of four Americans disapprove of you guys. Do you think that's because Americans don't feel that we're getting out of Iraq, which they felt you guys promised us last year before the election?
Yes, I think it's that. Plus, I think it's a lot of Democrats overpromised. A lot of, look, if they listen to these presidential debates we're having, you at least have three senators standing up there saying something that's simply not true. That if the Democrats wanted us to leave Iraq tomorrow, we'd all be out tomorrow. The fact of the matter is, you need 67 votes to override a presidential veto. We voted 54 votes to begin to draw down and get the troops out immediately. The president vetoed it. Now, where do you go from 53 to 67 votes? And to continue this, look, one of the things that we have to do, I've been criticizing the Republicans for not telling the truth. We got to tell the truth. We can't mislead the American public here that somehow with 51 Democrats, one of whom is still hospitalized and not able to return, that we're going to be able to have enough votes to get them out. That's why we continue to have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, not the president, but the Republicans in the Congress. Because I don't think there's 12 members of the United States Senate who think that the president's policy is correct. And that's why I hope that we get Petraeus's input here, because I think he is going to be able to provide enough of a rationale for the rest of the Republicans to say, look, let's get out of Iraq begin to draw down, get out of the middle of this civil war now. That's what it's going to take.
On another related subject, Jose Padilla was convicted today of federal terrorism support charges after being held for 3.5 years as an enemy combatant.
Right.
Does that mean that President Bush was right in the way he handled this?
No, it means he was absolutely wrong. It means, and I write about it in my book, what I talk about is here how this president has bastardized international treaties and the American Constitution. What was the original charge? There were much greater charges against Padilla, an American citizen. They said they couldn't try him in federal court because they wouldn't be able to get a conviction. Look what they did. They held him for 3 years without charge, without a trial, ruining our reputation around the world for the nation who, in fact, never holds or charges and keeps anyone without a charge and a fair trial. We finally have the trial. They're able to get the conviction, making the case that I and many others have made is, Mr. President, if you have the evidence, try these people in federal court. You cannot, you must not continue to ruin our reputation and create more terrorists, as the intelligence community points out, by continuing to make a mockery of our Constitution and international treaties.
All right, let's talk about our military for a second. Today, the Defense Manpower Data Center has released a report that says the suicide rate in the Army is at a 26-year high, that 99 U.S. soldiers have killed themselves in the last year. We've heard so much about veterans not getting the care that they need and having to wait, and I've talked to many Iraq and Afghanistan veterans who've been frustrated, particularly on mental health issues.
Exactly right.
Because they were told, well, you didn't get sick because you were at war. You had a pre-existing personality disorder.
Exactly right.
How would you change that as president?
I would change that. I've laid out as a senator, I'm trying to change it. The presumption should be, if in fact you are in an area where in fact you are subject to and likely to be exposed to traumatic brain injury, which so many of the people in Iraq have been, that it's the incumbent upon the military to prove that is not the reason. That is not the reason for your mental state or your physical condition. I came out of the Vietnam era. I got elected as a 29-year-old kid in 1972. I have been railing against the fact that we put the burden on the American soldier to demonstrate that the ailments that flow from Agent Orange were directly accountable for Agent Orange. What are we? We should be presuming that we're going to give care to a veteran and force it on the government to demonstrate that they do not warrant that care by them proving it was not because of their service. And so I believe we should change the law and write into the law, any Iraqi veteran coming home from a zone or area where he or she has been put into the prospect of being the victim of traumatic brain injury, the presumption is that the malady is because of that. What are we? What have we become here? We have one sacred responsibility, and that was to care for the people we sent to war. And it is absolutely obscene, the failure of this administration to keep that commitment.
This has been an ongoing cause on my show. Would you support guaranteed free health care for all veterans for life?
Absolutely, positively, unequivocally. And let me point out one other thing. We should also, I am proposing, that we allow up to 12 months family leave for any family member who is going to be caring for a veteran that's coming home. Look, you know as well as I do, because you've been a champion on this point, there are more amputees per capita coming home from this war than any time since the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
There are more traumatic brain injuries than any time, including World War II. There are more people that are going to be coming out of Iraq with post-stress syndrome, because it's the first time ever we have brought people into a war zone, taken them out, put them back in, taken them out, put them back in, and taken them out. And there is overwhelming evidence from psychiatric nurses and psychiatrists that we're going to be paying a price for this for a long time. A significant number of the people coming home are people who never would have survived the same injury had it been Vietnam or Korea or World War II. And it's going to mean we have a long-term, 20, 30-year commitment to expensive care, to care for these people. And it's about time we nailed down in black and white that we're committing the nation, as long as they are alive, to care for the damage done to them while they were in the war.
Yeah.
No one else is making any sacrifice in this nation.
Well, we can't just support the troops on other continents. We've got to support them when they come here. Now,
exactly
Senator,
right.
Senator, I have exactly 2 minutes left with you, so I'm going to take advantage of something I know about you. I've seen you in a couple of debates give very short answers.
Yes.
So let's play a lightning round here, okay? Would you be in favor of an airline passenger's bill of rights?
Yes.
Do you think Alberto Gonzalez should continue as attorney general?
No.
Should the U.S. put troops on the ground in Darfur?
Yes.
Are you in favor of gay marriage, civil unions, or neither?
Civil unions.
Do you think the United States should have a fairness doctrine for American broadcasters?
Yes.
Should the pitcher bat eighth or ninth in their lineup?
If they're as good a batter as I was and as lousy as pitcher as I was, eighth.
Plain or peanut M&Ms?
I like peanut.
Is there a chance you'll ever do this show again?
Yes.
Thank you very much. The
Thanks,
book is
man.
Called Promises
I
to Keep.
It. I hope you have me back.
I would love to. Senator Joe Biden's book is Promises to Keep on Life and Politics. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.